So there's a big prize for putting customers at the heart of marketing strategy. But while many organizations aspire to be customer first, it can be really tricky to achieve. So we wanted to find out how organizations were faring in this area. So we commissioned a survey last month. We asked senior leaders in 200 B2C organizations a series of questions about being customer first. These were senior leaders in retail, e-commerce, dining, hospitality, and travel organizations turning over £50 million plus. It gave us some really interesting insight to contextualize the discussion. We'll be sharing some of the insight with you today. It's hot off the press. You're the first to actually hear this research. And we're hoping that you can use it to benchmark yourselves with your customer first capability and identify areas for improvement. So if we can move to the next slide, Stu. So we wanted to just talk a little bit about who we are so that you know who we are. So Planning Inc. is now Plink. We have a new name, we have a new look and feel, and we have a new website. But we've been working with retailers for over 20 years. We work with enterprise retailers such as Marks & Spencer, Halfords and Argos. But our solutions are affordable for mid-size organisations such as Crew Clothing and Prezzo. So what do we do? Well, if we go to the next slide. Well, our vision is to create a place where every business uses all their customer data to make every customer decision and interaction better. So we do this through a combination of our customer data platform, Unilize, and our team of clever people. So Unilize enables marketers to connect, analyze, and activate customer data to drive customer retention and growth. And our team of experts are on hand to help marketers to drive more value from the data. So that's the introduction. So I'll hand over you over to Stuart now, who's going to take you through the agenda of our session.
Thanks, Laura. Good morning, everyone. So we've got five areas that we wanted to cover through today. I wanted to give a bit of a background in terms of what customer first actually is and what our interpretation of it, an insight into our findings. It's some of our findings. There's an ebook that we'll be distributing shortly with the full coverage, but hopefully this gives you a really clear insight into the direction of travel of the market. Based on the findings and based on what businesses are trying to achieve, we're offering a potential approach for how businesses can become more customer first. And we wanted to run through an example of what good can look like if everyone can get the house in order and deliver against what it is they want to. And at the end, we'll have time for questions. But please pop questions in the Q&A. We'll look to answer them throughout. But if we're not able to pick them up, then we'll get to them at the end. So to kick things off, a bit of background. So as Laura says, the concept of customer first is absolutely everywhere. Over the course of the year, we've been attending a large number of industry events, had a huge number of discussions with B2C customer marketing leaders in a variety of industries. And the notion of customer first has infiltrated every conversation, really, that we've had. So the first question is, what is it? Can we unify across a common definition of what customer first actually is? And from our perspective, and I think reflective of the conversations that we've had, customer first is a state of business operation where the business is developing propositions and delivering customer experiences that are fully rooted in customer needs. And I think there's a few different ways of cutting it, but essentially that seems to be what the flag that marketeers are rallying around. And from our perspective, we think it's something of an evolution. If we look at the lexicon that's been used by our clients and our network in the last 10 years or so, there seems to be a gradual progress towards this notion of being customer first. Initially, people were talking about being customer led. And a number of businesses are probably still in this paradigm. That's very much focused on attracting customers and doing everything possible to bring customers through the door and retain them. Very, very fiercely focused on the customer from that perspective. And I think the concepts of relevancy in customer marketing, that's where it really came from. That was a key mantra within the customer-led type businesses. That's gradually evolved to being more customer centric. And perhaps this is where customer needs have started to be more accepted and more responded to. And over time, that's evolved again to being customer first, which is really a nirvana end goal, end state of this customer centric mantra. This is where entire businesses have transformed and pivoted to become essentially focused on what the customer wants. And that's from marketing all the way through to product and store and e-com. And each business is completely united. Where has it come from? Well, one argument is it's a notion that's come from tech pure plays. So businesses that are inherently product led, to kind of save them from themselves a little bit and stop just developing things because they could, they started to overlay this lens of being customer first, which made them think about what they're developing from a customer perspective, developing solutions and apps and add-ons to their product that enhance customer experiences rather than just doing stuff that they could. And over time, there's an argument to suggest that that seeped more and more into the worlds of retail and travel and dining, especially under the guise of loyalty. And loyalty has become a massive conversation as it's become increasingly competitive to retain and grow share of wallet, the cost of living, economic volatility, trading volatility. Loyalty has become incredibly important. And for many brands, customer first has been seen as a real play to either complement or perhaps replace overt loyalty programs and loyalty schemes. If a business can deliver exactly what the customer wants, then they can engage and retain the customer. And we think that works. Ultimately, customer first represents an advanced data-driven state. You can only be customer first with the right data at your fingertips to be able to make the right decisions and deliver the right experiences. We think it's a good mandate, a good manifesto, a good MO, and we think it brings together a number of concepts that customer marketeers have been talking about for quite some time. So inherent within the notion of customer first is the concept of democratized data. So making sure that all parts of the business are united around a view of the customer that they can respond to, understand and react to. And I think I read a piece a little while ago about how McLaren, the Formula One team, were really interested in creating this concept of citizen analysts. So putting data in the hands of non-technical experts to aid with their specific function. And really that's what customer first is about, putting the right type of insight about the customer in the hands of people who can do something with it. Also inherent within it is the idea of harmonizing market teams and being super single focused on core customer North Star KPIs. And right now, still, we see very, very siloed marketing teams doing very different things, operating against different measurement and KPI frameworks. Customers first brings all of that together. And one of the key tactics, one of the key strategies within it is personalization and specifically delivering cross-channel seamless experiences. And I think really important in this conversation is that personalization isn't just a digital delivery. It's something that can be delivered in person, so in restaurant and in store. And I think that's something that marketers are increasingly mindful of. And it requires the right diagnostics. If you're taking customer first to the nth degree, you're really rallying around customer experience KPIs, looking at satisfaction. But clearly, you need to make sure that the dots are being joined between revenue and sales targets and how the customer is feeling and how they're interacting. So businesses need to have the right measurement toolkits in place to understand the correlation between those two things, and also to understand the short and long-term impact of their marketing activity. And that long-term impact is something that we're increasingly seeing businesses think about. Fundamentally, it's all about agility. It's all about being able to understand customer trends quickly and respond to them in a really fast way. And that's not just marketing, that's ranging and store decisions and so on. But obviously, we've got a very marketing-focused lens on this. And something that chains it all together, I think, is a degree of empathy. So putting ourselves in the shoes of the customer, using data to understand what they want, but then also being sympathetic to some of the forces that are driving their decisions. And that empathy can stretch across the full marketing gambit from how data is being stored and how privacy is being protected, all the way through to how experiences are being delivered and making sure that messages are relevant and centered in what customers are doing and what they want. So, with customer first being such a hot topic, We were interested in understanding where the market actually is. So one of the key questions that we asked in our survey from last month that Lara mentioned was to get a sense of how far away brands felt they were from being customer first. And we specifically framed it in this definition. So customer first is a strategy that puts the customer at the center of all business and marketing decisions, as opposed to a strategy that is led by product and business vertical-led requirements. And to do that, it requires strong customer reporting, customer-focused KPIs, and of course, excellent personalization and targeting capabilities. So quite a mouthful, but I think quite important to center this conversation on a definition that we can all get behind. And the responses were really interesting. So in terms of looking at their time or how far away they felt from being customer first, no one suggested it was a goal that they weren't working towards. So everyone appears to be leaning into this concept in some shape or form. Just one brand put their hand up out of 200 and said, we are already operating under this banner. We are already delivering these things. Everyone else is on a journey, and some are further away from that journey than others. So more than a third of businesses believe they are up to, well, between 4 and 5 years away from achieving this state, which, given the volatility of the market and the competitiveness, feels like a long way. This is the right way to go. It's the right way to engage customers. So for so many businesses to be so far away, it's quite interesting to think about why that is and what the opportunities are to accelerate that. So that really guided the thrust of the rest of our questions, to really get under the bonnet and understand what's behind the speed with which brands can achieve customer first, what's holding them back, and what are the clear opportunities. So the first area that we dug into was looking at the core foundational data sets. From our perspective, customer first can only be achieved when a business is operating off a fully unified single customer view. So we asked the question, how strongly do you agree with the following statement? My business has a full 360-degree view of individual customers, which collects and matches data such as on-site transactions and in-store transactions, digital behaviors, and channel interactions all to a customer. That, for us, is the definition of a single customer view. And the responses were very interesting. So just under a third of brands strongly agreed that they had this infrastructure in place. 42% somewhat agreed, and then master right, around 28% of brands neither agreed or disagreed, or somewhat disagreed. So if you were to review this through a critical lens, you would argue that a less than a third of brands being in this state in 2023 is pretty disappointing. The notion of united data and the importance of a single connected data set to drive and influence marketing and business decisions has long been held up, long since been a point of discussion. So for so relatively few brands to confidently state that they are in this position is kind of interesting. It's a difficult question to ask. It's a difficult question to answer in some ways. There is a degree of ambiguity around how brands interpret the statement, though I think it's pretty clear. But even allowing for that, it's a pretty interesting state of affairs. What becomes more interesting is when we start understanding what data brands believe is sitting behind that single customer view. And I think this really digs into how accurate a view that previous statement is. So we offered a wide range of data points that we would anticipate to be in the single customer view. Brands were able to select all those that were relevant. And I think it highlighted some really interesting gaps, some really interesting chinks in the armor of brands and their data asset. So only 23% of the brands that we surveyed suggested they included offline purchase history and transaction data in their core data asset. And even when you remove e-com brands, who you could be sympathetic towards as not necessarily having an offline real estate, that really only crept up to near around 30%. So brands are fundamentally struggling to connect offline activity to the rest of the data they have. And of course, this can be quite difficult. If you don't have an overt loyalty scheme or a loyalty card, collecting data in store can be quite challenging. And there are solutions, so using the likes of e-receipts to capture in-store transactions, card matching to bring that data in. It is a long-held and difficult asset to bring together. Similarly, only 20% of brands believe that website browsing data at a customer level was flowing into a single customer view. Now, we think this is obviously essential data to be held within that data asset. This is the data that enables you to understand what customers are doing between purchases. So super important for brands who perhaps have a smaller frequency or long lead times between purchases. It's an incredibly important asset to drive predictive models and engagement solutions. And we think it's binary. If this data is not within your data asset, you do not have a single customer view. So if you think that only, well, if you think that 72% of brands either believed they had an SCV or felt meaningfully that they did, with the 20% of brands saying they have website behavior, really that's a 14% of businesses having what we would think as a single customer view in play, which is a huge opportunity for brands to grow their data asset and a huge opportunity for brands who already have it to make a play in the market. Similarly, some data sources that perhaps might appear to be secondary appear to be not flowing into that core data asset. So 19% of businesses believe that customer reviews were going into the 360 view. I think around 18% were bringing in customer engagement and satisfaction scores. So while these might not be pivotal for driving a number of key use case in campaigns and personalization, if you're being customer first, you're trying to understand and respond to customer sentiment. So these assets actually become incredibly important. So clearly some gaps.
So, Stu, I've got a question on that previous slide. And can I encourage everybody as well, if you have questions, please put them in the chat. And we're really happy to answer questions as we go through. But one thing I'm hearing in the market is that, particularly from other customer data platform providers, is that you don't need to pull together all of your customer data to personalize marketing for customers. You just need to have the right data in your platform. What's your view on that?
Well, I think personalizing is one thing. Having the data at hand to make fully informed decisions around your customers is quite another. I think personalization can be built up use case by use case, for sure. There is something to be said for that. Clearly, the more data that you have driving personalization, the more relevant and deep it goes. But if you think about how we implement something like our future value model, which predicts each customer's likelihood, sorry, it predicts each customer's potential value to a business over time, we encourage our clients to iteratively build it up. So we would start with core data like transactional data, website engagement data. That drives the bulk of decisioning. And then over time, we can then start iterating on it and building up other data sets to further refine the model. So there is something to be said when it comes to personalization for thinking about it use case by use case. When it comes to clearly understanding your customer and driving insight and analysis, there's no real room for not having that full view. Otherwise, you're firing in the dark.
Okay, thanks.
So, linked to that, it's a nice segue into the next point. We asked brands how frequently their core customer data asset that informs marketing decisions was updated. And the results here were really quite interesting. On paper, actually quite shocking. So key to customer first is having the latest data to hand to make informed decisions. But 62% of respondents suggested that their core data asset was updated weekly or even less frequently. And even allowing for respondents to perhaps not necessarily have a full view of how frequently the update is, or maybe there's a degree of ambiguity around the question, it's still pretty interesting. Even if you meet this halfway, it's still fairly shocking. But it does track with what we see. You know, we've onboarded clients who have historically worked with databases in retail now, updated weekly or even monthly, often locked behind a paywall, often quite difficult to access. So there is a lot of work to be done to make sure that the core data driving insight and decision making is fast enough and is more as up to date enough to help brands make the decisions they need to do, especially when you come to peak periods and where managing and optimizing around markdown and promotions and stock availability is really key. That data needs to be absolutely current.
Okay. And so, Stu, on that, a question I often hear is with regard to frequency of update, is there an optimal frequency that brands should aspire to?
It's, I mean, again, use case by use case. We would argue that, the technology and the platforms available to have it in near to real time. We've onboarded a client where the core database is updated, every 2 minutes with every interaction and every behavior flowing into it, and then being available for marketeers to create audiences and insight accordingly. You've kind of got the real-time experiences component, so the right platform can in parallel deliver those. I think frequency is absolutely key. I think there are use cases where you don't need real-time type data assets. But to make decisions, again, especially during peak periods, it needs to be incredibly frequent. I mean, an example that we've promoted with their say so with Crew Clothing, we delivered real-time dashboards for Crew for Black Friday to allow them to make decisions on the day on the fly. So, it depends on the period and depends on the use case. So the next question we wanted to dig into was around how brands were using and accessing their data to drive personalization. Clearly, personalization and really optimized targeting is absolutely key for being customer first. That's how you deliver those great customer experiences. And with brands, in theory, spending a huge amount of time and effort building up their first-party data asset, they need to be able to access all of that to create the rich customer experiences that customers expect. And only 18.5% of brands felt that all of their customer data was available to use easily. And I think you're looking at some over 82% of brands not being in that state, so not being able to leverage all the data they have. And this points to silos, it points to broken tech, it points to the proliferation of point solutions that brands are using to personalize certain experiences, but they're doing it in silo of other more central databases, generating data, storing it there, not feeding it back. Some brands, 8.5%, haven't connected their core broadcast platform to their single customer view, so they're overly reliant on using technology that really isn't designed to do to do that job. So it's incredibly fragmented, and this would appear key for brands to break down if they are to achieve that customer first mantra. Again, going back to our vision, we believe that brands should use all their customer data to make every interaction decision better. Brands are currently not in that position to do so. So that's the background. It feels like the core data asset that is driving or should drive customer first is currently underperformant. That precursor for success currently isn't fit for purpose. So we want to dig a little deeper and find out what the implications are. What is that specifically holding brands back from achieving? And the first piece was highlighting the issues around insight. So we asked the question around what are the main limitations of your existing 360-degree view of individual customers? And we've got the top 10 most common issues listed there. Number one is frequency of update for analysis. So brands are very aware these underperformant data systems is holding them back from their ability to deliver agile insight, again, especially around periods like peak. Some other really interesting issues there. There's clearly data quality issues, data duplication, data quality specifically being called out. The data retention piece is really interesting. So brands need to be able to make very informed decisions about their customers based on their lifetime interactions. And some systems are not providing the full history, the full depth of customer data to enable them to do that. There's issues around resource. So the issues around internal resource and skill sets to be able to build and maintain these types of solutions that, again, are fit for purpose. And there's other specific call-outs around the ability to connect digital data and offline data, a fundamental lack of digital data of customer data that became that was particularly strong coming through from e-com and casual dining. But that frequency of update for analysis is absolutely key. We also dug a little deeper into the world of personalization, and we asked how sophisticated, if at all, would you say personalization in your customer marketing is? Now, personalization has been a huge topic for a large number of years, for a very long time. And still, only 18% of brands could put their hand up and say, oh, we've actually achieved a very sophisticated state. Most brands are still on some sort of journey and are still looking to achieve the type of customer experiences that customers want. 45.5% of brands suggest that their marketing personalization is not sophisticated at all. And this is crucial for brands to fix. Absolutely key to customer first. Customers increasingly expect robust and relevant customer experiences. And it's part of the value exchange. Businesses need to show that they're doing something really clever and useful with the data that they're collecting. Customers are becoming increasingly savvy and won't give that away unless they can see that tangibly and are getting promotions and rewards that are relevant to them. So this needs to be a real focus for brands, and it's a real play, really, when it comes to the loyalty scheme. We see a lot of the loyalty overt programs that are emerging as being something that is trying to clear this up, collect more data, enable to use it more easily, and deliver these types of personalization experiences.
So, Stu, what do you think that sophisticated personalization looks like?
It's a good question. I think in this day and age, you're really looking at genuine cross-channel experiences. As a customer, I should be receiving the same experience across the touch points in store, online. I think that point around personalization not just being a digital piece, it is something that can be enabled by colleagues in store or by restaurant managers and in dining. So I think being able to ensure customers get those experiences everywhere, and that they're very nuanced and centered around what they're interested in and what they're doing. We're seeing lots of really strong results where brands are able to deliver contextual personalization. It's something that we've been quite passionate about for quite some time. So where brands can route experiences in the transactions that customers have made. So actually providing experiences that kind of honor and celebrate often quite high ticket purchases, and being able to actually develop comms programs and content around that really cuts through. That really makes a difference. And being able to take that cross channel adds an additional layer to it. Again, it's using as much of the customer data as you have. That we see site personalization still really only using a very thin stream of data that hasn't really been unlocked. So that feels like a critical play. But personalization is challenging, and it's not just a data issue. Like, the data accessibility is a key challenge. But we asked, what are the factors that prevent you from delivering more effective personalization at scale? And content, the ability to produce enough content, sure enough, rears its ugly head. It's something that we've spoken about before. The marketer's ability to keep up with their data and keep up with a lot of the predictive analytics that are coming out to give more and more opportunities to personalize, that requires content to back it up. And brands haven't necessarily invested in the processes to develop the content to enable that. Worryingly, about 25%, a quarter of brands said it's simply not a priority for a business. And I would challenge a business's commitment to customer first as a mantra if personalization is not something that they're looking to deliver. Sure enough, accessibility of customer data. Interestingly, a lack of time and resource and a skills deficit. I think these are really important to pull out. Personalization isn't just a technology play. It requires time, it requires expertise, it requires the ability to craft out and plan out these experiences and then deliver on them. You need the content, sure, but you also need a very clear program management piece. It needs to be brought together holistically within the business, and brands really struggle for the headspace and the time to be able to deliver that in the way that they want to. And finally, we uncovered something of a vicious circle, and we've alluded to this before in previous research and previous discussions, but it remains prominent and appears to be a real handicap for brands achieving what they want to. We asked a really interesting question. We asked, what's the number one issue keeping you up at night? And we go into a lot more detail this in the ebook that will be coming out shortly. But we asked, what are the biggest stresses? And the number one stress for customer marketing leaders was the ability to prove the value of customer marketing to protect my budget. There were some other really interesting things in there. So the fear around protecting and growing share of wallet, customer retention, team retention. came out, and we think the ability to retain strong performing marketeers is incredibly important to drive momentum within a business. But the number one thing keeping people up at night was the ability to prove the value and protect budget. And they got cause for concern because one of the other questions we asked was around how bought in was senior leadership into the role of customer marketing. And 73% of respondents believe that there was room for more leadership buy-in. And in fact, I think some 30% of brands responded that senior leadership was actually indifferent to the role of customer marketing, which feels quite dramatic and perhaps points to picking up some people on a bad day, maybe. But it does show that customer marketers have a job to remove that stress. The only way that you can protect budget is to prove the worth of what you're doing and get the buy-in from C-suite and senior leadership to promote and sponsor their activities. And to do that, you need to show the worth. You need to show exactly what customer marketing is driving from a revenue perspective, but also from a customer satisfaction and engagement perspective. And there's a lot of work to do here. We asked what are the key metrics on which you measure customer marketing performance, and less than a quarter of brands responded by saying reporting on incremental revenue at a program level. I think around 25% reported incremental profit, so actually reporting to the business on how much profit they were generating as opposed to overall sales. The incrementality of activity is absolutely key. That is the difference. That's what will get the attention of the C-suite. And until brands are more holistically reporting on the performance of campaigns, both short and long term, it's very difficult to get the buy-in from senior leaders to understand what the true role of customer marketing is. So a lot of work to do on the measurement and reporting side of things. So a lot of opportunity. And so if a brand is on a journey and is looking to adopt customer first, we wanted to put a few ideas out there for how that might be achieved. We feel, based on that research, there's something of an open goal. So few brands are so advanced in their customer first mandate that brands that can accelerate and transform their businesses and nudge further ahead will really steal a march. And it's a case of investing in the right areas to create that clear differentiation. If brands can achieve that, then they absolutely will steal that march. But the question is, how do you stop customer first from becoming a well-meaning but ultimately impossible vision? It requires a significant amount of transformation. And I think it comes down to assessing what your capability is and making sure that it's not just a technology play. As a technology provider, we firmly believe in the power of it, and we'll talk about a potential solution in just a second. But capability is technology plus people and plus process. And when you start assessing how far away you are from being customer first and how you can close that gap, it really is a case of looking at solutions from a use case down. And one potential framework for doing that is this. We think there are five key elements that enable customer first. There's the time to data. So do you have the latest data available to do something with? There's data to insight. So how quickly can you access that data to generate the insights that you need to influence customer behavior? There's insight to action. So how quickly can you take that insight and deliver experiences that are meaningful and make a difference? And then there's action to measurement. So how quickly can you measure the impact of that activity, those campaigns, those changes in business operation? And how quickly can you react to the results? How quickly can you optimize your activity based on the results that are streaming through from a fit-for-purpose analytics capability? And from our perspective, if a business is to sit back and think, well, how can we accelerate activity? It's about looking at use cases through each of these five key areas, about understanding the value potential of investing in them and understanding what difference it will make to the business. It's about assessing your capability against each of these. Do you have the right people in role to achieve this? Do you have the right process that joins the dots? And do you have the right technology that enables it? And really, it's about developing requirements for change. If it's a technology play, it's about ensuring that any technology that you bring in enables people and enhances process, doesn't just bring in another layer of complexity or another silo or a fundamental change in how the business is kind of operating with what they've got. It's about enhancing and optimizing. And One manifestation of this is a solution that I just want to run through very quickly here. So, as part of Unilize, our technology platform, we implement a series of customer dashboard solutions, which gives marketers full access to all the rich data that sits within the core data platform. And we built it because a really interesting litmus test for how customer first you are is how painful it is to prepare for your Monday trading meetings. And it's a really interesting question to ask yourself. If you and your team are working late on a Sunday to prepare reports, if you're getting early on Monday to aggregate and collect the data that you need to report on in that Monday trade meeting, if you find yourself stymied because the data is not coming through fast enough and you're actually having to change your reporting window and knock days off because it doesn't quite fit with your trading week because the things aren't quite set up properly, it's kind of pointing to the fact that you haven't got the right solutions in place to enable that customer first agenda. I think it's a really interesting, sort of quite specific user experience, business experience, not user experience, to think about. Because if you can optimize that, if you can start bringing the right data into play for those meetings in a much faster, more meaningful way, if you can enhance the amount of data that you're bringing in, you're much more likely to be on that journey. So reporting is absolutely the engine behind customer first. Businesses can't unite around or respond to or improve or in fact celebrate what they can't see and quickly. And dashboards are absolutely critical to this. In some ways, dashboards have become a bit of a dirty word, but they're absolutely essential for liberating marketeers and being able to deliver what they need to. But they're only as good as the data going into them, and they're only as good as the ease with which insight can be derived. The right dashboards deliver agility. They make Monday trade meetings much easier to come together. They enrich the experiences and the discussions with additional data sets. They democratize data to that citizen analyst point. They put the right view of the customer in front of the right part of the business. And they harmonize business units. They bring them together around the customer KPIs and make the difference. And they offer the right customer diagnostics. They offer the right insight into what customers are doing and key plays across the customer base, enabling brands to make something of a difference. And that's where Unilize customer dashboards come into play. So customer dashboards is a solution that we put in on top of our core single customer view, which is continuous and updated in real time. It provides an updated daily view of customer performance split by about 100 different views off the shelf. So having worked with retailers, we know what retailers report on, and we have a series of off the shelf views with which marketers can log in each day. Overnight, it recalibrates hundreds of billions of different customer data points to provide the latest view of the customer. And I'm not going to go through all the views here, but the types of things that marketers should be very quickly accessing is an overall sense, as shown here, of the customer data health. So how many contactable customers have been acquired week on week, year on year, month on month, how the customer database splits across loyalty segments, life cycles, predictive segments such as future value, as shown in the bottom right, and just very quickly gives a clear view of how the database is performing, whether there's been a dip in acquisitions or whether it's maintained or whether there's been a real charge. It's then about putting the key KPIs at your fingertips, and there's a number of different views within the dashboard that offers that. In this particular view, we're looking at, and this is all demo data, of course, we're looking at a made-up retailer's customer base split by the value that they're delivering, whether they're spending in store or online, and then split by, in this case, a loyalty scheme that is broken down into prospects, tier one and tier two. Just a very quick view of how the base is performing. And then it should enable the right reporting, should enable a marketer to build out their own cut. So while there is some 100 off-the-shelf reports available within this, a marketer is then able to go in and start digging into the data that they really need for a specific meeting. So in this case, we're looking at the customer base split by predictive value, looking at the number of customers that have transacted in a specific week and looking at it week on week and the variances, looking at the spend per customer per group. We're looking at the discount that has been allocated to each customer group, and we're looking at the refund rate, which is obviously an incredibly important metric for retailers to keep a handle on. The report then enables brands to then dig even deeper. So a range of filters can be brought up. And in this case, a user is halfway through splitting that same view, just looking at women's wear. So looking at all those key KPIs just by the women's wear category. So it just offers, again, that interactivity and the agility for a marketer to get to the results they want. And of course, it's not just about financial reporting. So great reporting that enables customer first needs to show the true customer experience. So in this view, I think this is the customer experience view. We're looking at footfall conversion. So we've integrated footfall stats and looking at in-store conversion, looking at the number of returns, number of open customer service tickets, and how that tracks week on week. Are we doing a better job of mitigating customer service issues, product reviews, and so on? And each tab there is fully interactive to help dig deeper into the right data. So we just wanted to bring this up as a view of what good could look like and what the right type of reporting can do to help drive that customer agenda. And that was it from me. Hopefully that was useful. If there are any additional questions, then happy to answer them.
Oh, well, we actually have had a couple of questions come through on the Q&A. So somebody said, you talked about five key elements needed to enable a customer first approach. I need to work on all five areas. Do you think setting up dashboards is the best place to start? Or is there another element that you think is more equally important?
Reporting, you can't do anything if you don't have the insight. But I think customer dashboards, as presented there, it's enabled by the fundamental data structure of Unilize. So Unilize as a technology platform, we work with our clients to bring the right data in the right way. We then structure it for both analytical and campaign use cases. It's really the manifestation of a lot of the IP and a lot of the work that goes into how we build that core data asset in the first place. The reporting, the dashboards is really only as good as the underpinning data source. So insight is absolutely critical, but if you're not able to easily access it because the fundamental data foundations aren't there, then my feeling is that's the most important place to start, really. So that clears the pathway for everything else, whether it be the right reporting or whether it be the right personalization initiatives.
Okay. And there is another question, which is in one of the research pieces, you said that one of the key barriers to personalization was access to content. So what are your thoughts as far as AI and ChatGPT is concerned? How will that influence content?
Yeah, there's quite an interesting section in the forthcoming ebook on AI. We asked a few questions of that to really understand what marketers were thinking. It's got a massive role to play. I think there are concerns around how some of the open models can, from the access from a privacy perspective and a brand governance point of view, but there's absolutely an opportunity to start scaling out content using LLM models. And in fact, it's something that we started to do with our clients, specifically in website personalization use cases. So that's absolutely an area where it becomes quite challenging to scale out the amount of content and the number of variants of messaging that you'd want to give to customers based on their value or historical behavior or whatever it might be. So we're increasingly seeing that as being a very important solution for that age-old problem of content creation.
Okay, great. We've got another question that's come through. So with platform charge models often aligned to data points or volumes of updates, API calls, how do you recommend balancing the desire to have all data actionable in one place, but needing to make sure it justifies any investment of having it there?
So if that's about integrating it with some of the key campaign platforms, which, yeah, charge on attribute updates or the amount of data, I think our philosophy is keeping the broadcast platform, whether it be a CMP, ESP, CDXP, keeping that light as possible and keeping the orchestration and the brains and the core data asset. That's super important for a number of reasons. It limits your exposure from a cost perspective of putting things into a platform that they then charge you for hosting and updating. If you do have one of those platforms, you have to be very careful about the integration to make sure that you're not updating every attribute, like every birthday, because you're incurring a cost. So creating a layer before that to make sure the right data goes in. But by doing that, you're also keeping yourself agnostic. It means that you can easily, relatively easy, migrate platforms, find the solution that is right for doing what it does, distributing communications, by keeping the brain internally and keeping it into the place that you can use across the business. And it's not just all in that one system, which is at risk if you ever come to move.
Great. Well, I think that's all the questions from the audience. So thank you, everybody. If you've got any more questions, please do drop us a line. We're always happy to answer them. If there's anything that resonated in this webinar, we'd be really happy to chat, talk to you about the challenges that you may be facing about becoming customer first. We're really happy to give you some ideas. Equally, if you'd like to look into the dashboards in a bit more detail, we'd be very happy to show you how the dashboards in more detail. So thank you, everybody. We hope that was interesting. And hopefully we'll see you next time. And look out for the ebook where we'll be sharing all of the research that we were talking through. Thanks very much.
Thank you.